Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Recorded at the University of Minnesota, you are listening to Radio K's Culture Q, the Twin Cities Arts and Culture program providing you the stories of Minnesota that you won't hear anywhere else. I'm your host, Matthew Curtis, and thank you for joining us. This week, we're adopting, feeding, grooming, caring for, and being ignored by our cats. Yes, this week's show is all about our feline friends, as we try to keep up with the internet's obsession with the moody yet adorable household pets. I don't think any of the producers of the show actually have a cat, but we'll make the best of it regardless. Marjorie Otto attends a cat show to find out the hows and whys of pet pageantry. I produce a feline-themed soundscope, and former producer Katie Bolin estimates the true cost of owning and caring for a pet. And it all starts right now on Radio K's Culture Q. The phrase cat show may lead someone to think of the stereotypical crazy cat person. In her story, Marjorie Otto shows that cat shows can be something of an educational experience, bringing out the crazy cat person in all of us.
On a warm spring day in April, the Hopkins Pavilion was buzzing. It was the 92nd and 93rd annual cat shows sponsored by the Gopher State Cat Club, a member of the American Cat Fanciers Association. As you walk into the show, you are faced with rows upon rows of cats. Off to the right are five judging rings. I went to ring three and watched Judge Deb Witch judge kittens.
This is a Singapura kitten. They are our smallest breed of cat. They only come in one color. This is called Sepia Agouti. It's basically a ticked tabby pattern. So each little hair has little bands of color to give it this cool kind of shaded look. Little old muslin tummies. Yes. They have kind of a broad, rounded wedge to their head, big, beautiful, rounded eyes, short little muzzle, nice big cupped forward ears.
Deb has been an ACFA judge for 15 years. She explained that many owners show kittens in order to decide whether to show them as adults. When judging kittens or cats, Deb is looking to see if these kittens fit the standards set for each breed. She might judge the shape of their ears, the size of their face, the proportion of their back legs to their front legs. She's also looking to feel if the cat is skinny or too fat, and also looking at the quality of the cat's fur.
Tonkinese. They were purposely bred Siamese to Burmese to get something in the middle. So they're very nicely, all pleasing proportion. Nothing stands out except a beautiful, well-balanced cat. And his color is called Platinum Mink. That's something that they got when they bred the pointed Siamese gene to the Burmese, which is a variation of the pointed gene. They got this cool mink.
Owners of these kittens are also able to interact with the judges and clarify what expectations judges will be looking for. There can also be debate on the definitions of some of the standards set by the ACFA.
Now, is she a tortie or a calico?
She's tortie. ACFA does not have calico as a separate designation.
That's
so she's tortoiseshell and white. Because people were arguing over exactly what went from calico to tortoiseshell and white.
Yep.
So they just made them all tortoiseshell or tortoiseshell and white.
Deb is also looking to see how friendly and how comfortable a cat is with the showing process. She does this by holding the cat, talking to it, and she also has some toys that she uses to play with them to see if they'll play in front of a crowd of people.
Kind of just scrunches in like, you're not going to make me move, are you?
He doesn't like showing.
You're not too thrilled with the show nonsense? Well, you're a handsome boy. Look at those beautiful curls. Yes, you have beautiful curls and a beautiful egg-shaped head. And look at those nice big ears. Yes. Look at nice tuck-up. You could jump really high.
However, not all cats are very keen about the showing process. In a case like this, when a cat has good proportions that match the breed description, an owner might decide just to use it as a breeding cat and to not show it. Showing a cat isn't just about the two-day event. There's a lot that goes into prepping a cat for the show. It's a year-long process. There's constant grooming, specific diets, and desensitizing it to large groups of people.
My name's Ben Tatro. I show cats.
I spoke with Ben to see what he and his wife do to get their cats ready for a cat show. Ben and his wife have been showing cats for about 2 years now. What goes into getting ready for a cat show?
A lot of grooming. Like I said, my wife's a groomer. So she, when we don't have a show to prep for, she's always taking good care of the cats, making sure they get bathed and groomed and all that. And then last week before the actual show, she's constantly bringing them to the salon, constantly grooming them, making sure that they smell nice and pretty, that everything's good. And then the day of the show, just making sure we have, you know, all the combs, all the brushes, all the dry shampoo, all the stuff that we need when we're there to make sure that they stay in that good condition throughout the show, because there's a lot of people who they like to touch the cats, they like to play with the cats, and obviously that makes them a little bit dirty, so you gotta clean them up throughout the show. But yeah, a lot of grooming before and during.
Ben and his wife show 3 cats:
Annabelle, Minnie, and Sassy Pants. They're just regular domestic cats. Minnie's Persian mixed with who knows what. And Annabelle's just a barn cat. And Sassy Pants is also a barn cat. So we show in the household division. Any cats allowed. They don't have to be any specific breed. This last show we had a cat who only had 3 feet, 3 paws. That was not held against the cat at all. The cat was still spunky. The cat still got a couple of ribbons. It's just for any cat.
Ben explained that judges are looking for healthy cats. They don't want them to be too skinny or too fat. They should have really healthy, clean coats. He said especially no dander. That's a big one. And that the cats have a really good personality. He said that they don't necessarily have to play with toys. For example, they have an older cat that's about 8 years old that they don't expect to play with toys, so that's not something that's held against them. But just that they're not crabby or mean or hissing at the judges.
Yeah, and then there's also a huge part is the judges' choice. It's kind of a free-for-all that you'll get the judges that like male cats. So they're top 10, all male. You'll get the judges that like black and white cats. So all top 10, black and white cats. It's kind of the belly of the beast there. When you're in a division that doesn't really have a set category, there's, as long as your cat is groomed well, is friendly, and is fed well, you have as best a shot as anybody. Thank you.
What's your favorite part about showing cats?
Everyone there is so friendly, even though you're with your competition. Your competition's sitting right next to you. You're seeing what they're doing. Their cat looks amazing. Your cat looks absolutely amazing too. It's all a lot of fun. And everyone's there for each other, supporting each other. No one's there trying to beat each other out, even though, yes, you're in a competition, but at the same point, there's a big sense of we're all crazy cat people, and it's fun to be around a whole bunch of crazy cat people.
For Culture Q, I'm Marjorie Otto.
Hi there, my name is Matt Curtis. I am the host of Radio K's Culture Q, and as part of our feline theme show, I thought, why not put together a sound scope of, you know, cat stuff. But let me preface this by saying that I am not a cat person. I know nothing about cats, and most of these songs actually don't involve cats at all. But, you know, let's just get on with it. First on the list is the 1972 track Honky Cat by Sir Elton John. It is the lead-off track off of his album Honky Chateau, which is actually a reference to where it was recorded, the Château de Orville, about 30 minutes outside of Paris. Well, there you go.
When I look back, boy, must have been green. Bopping in the country, fishing in a stream. Looking for an answer, trying to find a sign. Until I saw your city lights, honey, I was blind. They said, get back. The woods, well, I quit in those days and my redneck ways, and I oh, change is gonna do me good.
To calm us down a bit, we have Belle and Sebastian with The Cat and the Cream from their latest album, Girls in Peacetime Want to Dance. I don't know what this is about. Coming up next is Paula Abdul with the number one hit from her 1989 debut, featuring The Wild Pair. It is called Opposites Attract. The Grammy-winning music video features Paula dancing with a sassy animated cat in a leather jacket. If only radio was visual as well.
On the rap, so mic it. Here's a little story, and you're sure to like it. Swift and sly, and I'm playing it cool with my homegirl, Paula Abdul.
Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin is a song embedded in culture as a staple of folk music. Of course, the name of the song comes from the string figures Cat's Cradle and has nothing to do with cats at all. It's about a father and his son or something. I don't know.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
This has been my cat-themed Soundscope. I'm Matt Curtis, and you're listening to Radio K's Culture Cue. Hi, it's me again. I'm now here to do something else. I'm here to present the weekly release spotlight, an album that we highlight every week in association with the Electric Fetus. This week is Hop Along and their third LP, Painted Shut, released on Saddle Creek Records. To check out copyright of Radio K, Zach Simon's review of the album, and download a free track, just log on to RadioK.org. Right now, it is Hop Along with the track Powerful Man on Radio K's Culture Cue.
Sun setting on the street. Your dad told you not to look at me. Down came the fist hard upon your head. I was the only other adult around. I was the only other adult around. I was 18, you were 8, maybe you.
Off their new album Painted Shut and our weekly release spotlight. To read a full review of the album and download a free track, log on to RadioK.org. A house, two kids, a dog, and a car. Maybe some of the criteria of the American dream have changed since the 1950s, but owning a dog hasn't. However, what happens when an owner, for any number of reasons, doesn't have the means to cover the high cost of a vet bill? Former producer Katie Boleyn explores the different ways pet owners can find help.
Food, routine veterinary care, cat litter, toys, beds. If a pet gets injured or gets sick, that can be a very large expense, an unexpected expense for the owner.
That's Dr. Kim Culbertson.
People want to acquire pets for the companionship, and we all do, but they don't realize the ongoing costs associated with keeping a pet.
She's a veterinarian in the Twin Cities. MinSnap provides low-cost spay and neuter surgeries for dogs, cats, and rabbits, but not just anyone can use their services.
Our services are available to people who qualify financially. They either have to demonstrate that they're receiving some type of state or federal public assistance, or they have to have a total annual household income of $40,000 or less.
The MinSnap program runs from two locations. One is in North Minneapolis, and the other is a mobile clinic.
The average number of surgeries we perform a day is about 30, both on our mobile clinic and here at our stationary clinic.
Although relieving the cost burden of a spay or neuter for pet owners is part of MinSnap's work, it's not the main goal of the program.
Spay neuter can be expensive and it can be reasonable too. It depends on the part of the state you live in and the clinic you choose to go to. But the reason that we provide it at such a reduced subsidized cost is to reduce pet overpopulation from unwanted litters. There's an estimated 3 to 4 million cats and dogs and rabbits that get euthanized in shelters every year.
Kim says it's estimated that there are about 90,000 euthanized pets a year right here in Minnesota.
Those are pets that just don't have homes, and there's not enough homes for all the pets that are born. I think there's an estimate that for every one person born in the United States, there's 15 animals, cats and dogs, born. When they enter shelters and they don't find homes, they have to get put down to make room for more animals to come in. The shelters are overwhelmed, rescue organizations are overwhelmed, so we decided to help by preventing those litters from being born.
Although MinSnap's primary goal is to relieve the local pet kingdom of its vast overpopulation, there are also a limited number of benefits for its low-income customers.
If it's a minor health condition, we can treat it here. If it's more serious, we notify the owner and recommend that they seek veterinary care at a private practice.
So what do you do when you have a four-legged family member with a serious medical condition, but don't have the means to pay for expensive veterinary care? Well, in 2014, that means you turn to the internet.
Man. Crowdfunding, how cool is that?
That's Alex Biggis. We went to high school together. For the past month and a half, he has been promoting his Indiegogo campaign to raise money for his rescue dog, Allie. She is 5 years old and needs a costly cataract surgery so she can see the world for the very first time.
For a family that's just starting out, you know, shelling out almost $3,000 over just a few months is not something that we could responsibly decide to do.
His campaign has been shared over 260 times on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. With the help of family, friends, strangers, and a steady flow of social media updates, his goal of raising $2,700 was met in 45 days. Alex says this type of funding could be crucial for families in similar situations who want to help their pets' immediate medical needs but don't have the funds to do so.
Crowdfunding kind of reconstructs that whole debate. So it's no longer an issue of, is it worth $2,700 for this procedure, which involves a huge amount of risk for one family? It becomes, is this worth, you know, $10 to $20 to 100 plus people to help it become a reality? So it changes the game.
As a relatively recent phenomenon, crowdfunding has proven an option for many people like Alex looking to raise money for expensive vet costs. However, to run a successful campaign, a person must have a large enough network of people who have access to the internet and the ability to donate money. Dr. Kim Culbertson says more still needs to be done to help out pets of families who can't afford the high costs of going to the vet.
I would like to see more affordable and accessible veterinary resources for a low-income community, whether it be surgery or just basic medical and preventive care. We're in a depression, I should say we're in a recession. Even though we're coming out of it, it's still hard for people to be able to afford good care for their pets. And like you said before, pets are part of the family and we want to make sure we can take care of them.
If you would like to donate to MnSNAP, please visit mnsnap.org. For Culture Q, I'm Katie Bolin.
Listening to Radio K's Culture Q, the Twin Cities arts and culture program providing you the stories of Minnesota that you won't hear anywhere else. Tonight you heard the voices of Marjorie Otto, Katie Bolin, and Matthew Curtis. Our producers are Aaron Bolton, Max Fuller, and Marjorie Otto. Our culture coach is Sarah Lamanchek, and I am your host and managing editor, Matthew Curtis. You can listen to us on Radio K, PRX, and iTunes. You can find us on Facebook, just search Culture Q. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. See you next Sunday at 6 p.m., and thank you for listening.